Now for the sermon, Mr. LeBlanc.
So today, what I want you to do is I want you to turn to the book of Deuteronomy. This is a subject matter I'll be covering today as we take a look at ourselves, as we examine ourselves, because this is the great season of self-examination. As we, hard to believe what Willie was saying, only 20 days to the Passover. I don't know why, I was thinking about a month, but it is upon us early this year. So let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 24, and we're going to take a look at this passage, and we're going to walk our way through a famous story in the Old Testament. But first, let's go through Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 24. Verse 24, "For the Lord your God is a consuming fire. He is a jealous God." So the title of the message today is "The God We Serve." We are in covenant with this God. He is a jealous God. God is a jealous God. And I need to be reminded of that. We live in this incredibly blessed and materialistic world, as Mr. Carlson was bringing out. And one of the great problems here in the United States is the fear of God is almost completely evaporated from our cities, from our schools, from within our government. I mean, you find little flashes of the fear of God here and there, but it's quickly dying out. It's a flame that has almost died out. It's good to examine ourselves and realize that we've entered into a covenant with a jealous God who places demands upon us. A covenant relationship involves demands, obligations, responsibilities, expectations. All of these things are good. We grow and we mature because we're in this covenant relationship with God and He has these expectations of us. So the subject matter today that I'm going to cover has to do with the jealousy of God. Now, showcasing this using the figure I'm going to use, a man who actually existed, you may not necessarily think in terms of, oh, God is a jealous God. But when you dig deep into the story, you see this come out and it is brought to the surface. So we're going to take a look at the life of Samson today. Samson was a greatly gifted man. But Samson had a fixation. He was a covetous man. His covetous issue was not money, but was Philistine women. And eventually, this aspect of his covetous personality, where he settled on one particular woman, and we believe Delilah most likely was a Philistine woman, led to his downfall. I believe all of us eventually have to deal with a Delilah in our lives. What's a Delilah? It's a fixation. It's an obsession. It's a craving. It's a infatuation, a mania. It could be a physical thing. It could be a person. It could be a desire for status. It could be a home. Whatever it is that enters the human mind and reaches down into the human spirit where we become obsessed with something. You can have more than one Delilah in your life. I've had one or two in my life. And I think we all know what that experience is. We become obsessed with something. In effect, I'm really talking about idolatry. We can make a person an idol. We can make an outcome in life an idol. Oh, if only I have this job title. Or if only I can live in this particular neighborhood. If only I could have this car and drive a certain car with a certain status, oh, I would be happy. This ridiculous idea that if only I can have this, then I will be happy. You can appreciate what Mr. Carlson was talking today about covetousness and being content. What is your Delilah? Have you flirted with a Delilah in the past year? Has something or someone or some pursuit of a particular desire or pleasure taken up too much time, impacted you too much, taken time away from your family or your happiness, taken time away from giving time and attention to God? What is your Delilah? What is your Delilah? Delilahs are very dangerous because Delilahs can, when taken to extreme, destroy human relationships, destroy marriages, create havoc in people's lives. God's a jealous God, but his jealousy protects us. It's not an insane jealousy. There's a right sense of jealousy. He wants to protect us, and he doesn't want us to become fixated on material things, how beautiful our home is, what car we drive, how much money is in the bank account, how we look, whatever the interest or obsession may be, whatever that could be. It could be a hobby. It could be exercise. It could be learning something new. And Satan is always trying to put these Delilahs in front of our eyes. So let's go to the book of Judges now. Let's go to the book of Judges. Let's go to Judges 13. Judges chapter 13, as we take a look at this subject matter today. So we will move through the story rather rapidly. And you think, as we examine ourselves prior to the Passover, this season of self-examination, what is your Delilah? Delilahs hurt people. But I think we all know what a fixation is. When we get something in our heads, in our minds, we just have to do something or be with someone. I remember a funny story. It was maybe not so funny as it was lived out later on, but I remember a situation in Pasadena when I was there, and this is probably in the late 1980s, and there was a young woman. She was in her 20s, probably 25 or 26, and she had an absolute fixation on a single man. She was single as well, and she was interested in dating him, and I tell you, she was obsessed with him. Now, she was very likable, attractive woman, capable. But I remember when she would counsel, and I would sit in with these counselings, and she was counseling with an older minister. I was a younger minister, but they would have me sitting in on these counselings. And she was just obsessed with him, and I could never figure it out because I knew the man she was interested in, and he was, you know, he was kind of clean, wholesome look, but he was a bit of a lazy slug, to be quite frank. It's really funny, and I could never figure out why is she so obsessed with him. And other men would look at him, and they liked him, but he was a little bit on the silly side and a bit lazy. But she just had this individual stamped on her mind, and she was determined to get him. This great fixation. You see, we can fixate on people as well. Sure enough, as the years went by, and eventually he married her. She wouldn't give up. Very persistent woman. I mean, you know, she had a strategy and it played out. But then years later, I heard about the marriage and her frustrations with him because he was lazy. He didn't work. She ended up having to carry the load financially. And well, sometimes our fixations haunt us. Now, the marriage continued, and I think they're married to this day. And I hope they're relatively stable in their marriage. And I can't remember how many children they have. The last I heard, she was carrying the load, you know. But when you're fixated on something and you have that craving and it becomes an obsession, it's dangerous. Well, we know the story. Samson had an obsession. So in chapter 13, it talks about the fact that the Lord delivered the nation, the Israelites, into the hand of the Philistines, verse 1. Verse 2 says, now there was a certain man from Zorah of the family of the Danites whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren, had no children. But the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, indeed now you are going to have a child, and you shall conceive and have a son. So this is a great blessing. God was about to deliver the Israelites from the hand of the Philistines, primarily through this man who became known as Samson. He was to become a Nazarite in verse 5. No razor was to touch his head. In verse 7, we're told he was a Nazarite to God. Now, we're going to learn seven lessons from Samson's life. We're going to do a deep dive here because I think sometimes we think we know these stories, but there's so much more to glean from these biblical stories. First of all, God is deadly serious when it comes to a vow or any type of promise or covenant that he is involved in. Samson was involved in a vow Now, vows are, the lens is smaller than a covenant. A covenant is more of a full relationship as a covenant, but a vow is more specific promises. They're closely related. You'll often find vows as part of covenant. I don't want to get into a lot of detail of the differences there. Point number two, God is patient. You will see that Samson stumbles, doesn't really follow the Nazarite protocol. You know, he exposes himself to dead bodies. He doesn't do what he should do, but God is patient with him. Over the years, God doesn't immediately punish him. And sometimes just because things are going well in life doesn't mean God is always pleased with us either. That can be a treacherous path to take. May God bless you, but just because everything's going well doesn't mean there aren't things that need to be addressed. Point number three, God almost always warns, brethren. God almost always warns us when we're going in the wrong direction. He'll warn you concerning your Delilah. What's your Delilah, brethren? What was your Delilah this past year? What took up too much of your time? What pulled you in a direction you shouldn't have gone in, or what garnered your affections too much? What's your Delilah? What was your Delilah? Now, God warns, but the question is, are we listening? I think sometimes we're so obsessed, career, maybe it's another human being, maybe it's a physical thing like a house or a car or having a new this or a new that. We don't see how we are obsessed with these things. Point number four, God is a jealous God, but his jealousy protects us, right? You're jealous over your children. You're protective. It is appropriate to be jealous over your spouse in a right way. You know, if you're a man, I mean, I'm sure Willie's wife, Michaela, doesn't want Willie flirting with women when he's on business trips. Okay, he doesn't strike me as that type of a person, but you're going to have a right sense of jealousy, right? And vice versa. Okay. Delilah's, you can spot a Delilah because a fixation forms. That's point number five. There's this fixation. Point number six, and we get a little bit of overlap here, you're going to see that Samson will make these comments such as, but I want her, father and mother. I know she's a Philistine, but she pleases me well. Very similar to what Mr. Carlson was pointing out to us. And I hope, brethren, and I know you're of such a mind, but it's a good reminder, you know, we work on our sermonettes, our sermons, and God does inspire us. Maybe our deliveries are far from perfect, or we can always cover a topic in a better way. But I do think in this age where there's so many choices and so much to covet, people, things, and the such, it's so easy to get pulled in directions we shouldn't go in. What pleases you well? Well, often what pleases us well, what we think will please us, turns out to be a nightmare later on. And finally, where you find Delilahs, eventually you have stress, anxiety, frustration, even destruction. They're dangerous. Delilahs are dangerous, very dangerous. They can seem so harmless. So we have this Nazarite. Let's go back to chapter 13. And there were to be rules of his life. Verse 12, Manoah said to the angel, now let your words come to pass. Let us give birth to this boy. What will be the boy's rule of life? Well, that applies to us today. We're in a covenant relationship with God, right? We have rules. We have obligations, such as I'm to keep the Sabbath day holy. If you have children, you're to teach your children about the Sabbath. I'm to keep the festivals of God. These are duties, are they not? Tithing is an obligation because we're in a covenant relationship. And I know you know these things. The Apostle Paul would talk often about keeping your human body pure. Okay? Don't get involved sexually in an inappropriate way. Sex is only to be practiced within the marriage covenant. You know, we live in a world and people don't fear God, so sex is practiced constantly outside that covenant. But even our bodies belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Correct? Even our minds belong to Jesus Christ. Another obligation of our covenant is we must forgive, and we must forgive quickly. So this is the time when we remember our covenant obligations. We must forgive quickly. All of this is part of our covenant obligations. Part of that obligation is we must constantly seek the Lord in prayer for ourselves and others. One of the obligations we have as part of covenant is to overcome. Do you see the web of responsibilities we have, which are all good? They're not burdens. They're demanding. Covenant is demanding. The rules of life are demanding. So be it. But they're not burdensome. There's a difference between right demands and burdensome. Now, the world will try to convince us that, well, the law of God is a burden, or the Sabbath is a burden. No, not when it's done properly. Satan's very deceitful. So let's get back to the story, chapter 14. So he is born, and he knows of his responsibility, he knows of his vow, but he becomes very casual in the vow, very sloppy in the vow. And in chapter 14, Samson, he's older now, he went down to Timnah and saw a woman in Timnah of the daughter of the Philistines. Remember, they're pagans. They're a highly sexualized pagan idolatrous culture. So he went up and told his father and mother, saying, I've seen a woman in Timnah, verse 2, chapter 14, of the daughters of the Philistines. And therefore, get her from me as a wife, right? When you got a Delilah, you got to get it. If you're a young man or even a middle-aged man, if you like that nice car, it's way out of your affordability zone, but some way or another, you're going to find it, right? Most men, well, maybe not most, but I think many men go through experience of buying a car or something or a motorcycle that is beyond their reach financially, right? People can do that with human beings as well. Okay. Men and women can fixate, I'm thinking if you're single, on somebody of the opposite sex who really isn't good for you. You're basing your decision on outward appearance or the eyes, and you can make terrible decisions, and many people make terrible decisions. You can buy that beautiful, quote, dream home. Okay, I'm not trying to hit out on anyone, but that's our culture. Everybody's dreaming all the time. Dream home, dream people, dream cars. I'm not against liking things. I understand that, but you have to be very careful. And then you move into the dream home, and pardon the expression, but then you find out 3 weeks later that the neighbor two houses down is the neighbor from hell. But you've got the dream house, and the neighbor from hell has kids who are infecting your children with other things, right? I mean, I've learned to be careful. Look to God, make requests by all means, physical things. Make people requests, absolutely, but be careful. Be careful of these Delilahs. They're all over the place in our culture. Physical Delilahs, emotional Delilahs, suck you in, pull you in. And this is almost humorous, but it was very sad. And the father, he should have listened to the counsel of his father and mother. Verse 3 said to him, is there no woman among the daughters of your own people, among the people? Can't you go to an Israelite girl? You're incredibly talented. You're going to be this great judge of Israel. But he was fixated with these Philistine women. Again, the Philistine women were highly sexualized, probably in the way they dressed. They were very seductive and no doubt incredibly beautiful. And he was just drawn to them, where the Israelite women were probably much more modest. And of course, the Israelites were suffering at that time under the hand of the Philistines. Why can't you find a wife among your own people, but instead you go to this uncircumcised Philistines? But Samson said to his father, get her for me, for she pleases me well. There's always a price, brethren. Whatever you get, whatever you pursue, there's a price. Either it will benefit you or you're going to pay a price. It's just the way it works. And so he gets involved with a woman, but God uses that human weakness to work out his plan. It's not that God approved of this, but God uses his wrong desires to attack the Philistines. And it goes through the story of the Philistines, and it goes through this fascinating true episode of he has this strange wedding, and then he tells a riddle, and he tells this Philistine wife during the wedding feast the answer to the riddle, and then she tells others, Philistine men, and there's threats of violence. I mean, this is what he's gotten involved in. Okay, these Delilahs hurt you. Delilahs hurt you. If you could somehow teach your kids and teenagers that sometimes these things we so desire can be very harmful. They can look and appear good. I'm not going to go through all of that story in chapter 14. And eventually, that woman, in a sense, is taken from him, and a great tragedy takes place, and she suffers terribly, and he fights and kills the Philistines over her and what happens to her. And it's a great tragedy when you think about it. And we notice in verse 17 that during the feast, she wept and pressed him so much. You know, women, ladies, don't get angry with me, but women can wear men down. I need this. I can't be happy. I need this. I can't be happy. Do this. Do this. Do this. Now, she was threatened. Let's understand this, okay? She was threatened. So she's scared. Now, men, too, can wear down a woman in other ways, but men tend not to wear down verbally. Maybe men can wear down by threatening anger or even violence. I don't mean to get into stereotypes here, but a woman usually isn't going to threaten violence because she's a woman, but this woman wore him down. Very sad story when you think about it. I mean, this poor woman, I mean, she was a Philistine woman, but she pays terribly for what takes place here, and everything goes wrong. And then Samson retaliates, okay, and God uses that retaliation. But God is with him, and he fights and fights. A fascinating passage is in verse 18 of chapter 15. I always thought this was interesting. This is a bit of a segue out of the main direction of the story here. But he fights the Philistines, but he almost dies of thirst. He's so thirsty. In verse 18, it says, he became very thirsty, and he cries out to the Lord and said, you have given a great deliverance by the hand of your servant. And now shall I die of thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised? In verse 19, and God split the hollow place that is in Lehi, and water came out, and he drank, and his spirit returned. So God performs this great miracle. Now, sometimes you go through these great spiritual battles, but you have to cry out. You know, he had to cry out, and then God gave him the water. So if you're going through a great stressful time in your life, remember, you have to cry out and God can refresh you. It's very important. It's a little message, but it's a very big, encouraging message. Chapter 16, once again, he sees a harlot and then he goes into the harlot. Chapter 16 and verse 1. And so he's fighting again and it's constant trouble. But he has a fixation on these Philistine women. Now, his father warned him, and his mother warned him, don't get involved with these Philistine women. So God will warn us through the voice of others or the word of God. I really believe this. I can see this in my own life. God warns, if we're listening. God warns us. But if you're not sensitive to the scripture or to other people or sermonettes, you know, you've got to listen. Okay, chapter 16, now we get into this incredible woman called Delilah. And it happened that there was a woman in the valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah. She obviously was quite attractive, and he became obsessed with her. But then she's threatened by the Philistine leaders because they're trying to kill Samson because he's wreaking havoc with the Philistines. He's killing Philistines by the thousands. Find out how we can basically get rid of his great strength. And Delilah said to Samson, verse 6, please tell me where your great strength lies, and with what you may be bound to afflict you. I view it this way. Satan and his demons are always at work. He's going to find out what our desires are. Are they good or bad? And he will work through the vehicle of those bad desires. He wants to give you a Delilah. Satan wants to give you a Delilah. Someone or something or some focus or some goal that takes you away from God or takes you away from your family or your children or where you need to be spiritually. He's very clever. So Samson then goes through this exchange of deceit and lies, but he loves this woman. It's sad in a way. He loves her. Okay? Another lesson here, kind of off target a little bit, is you can love the wrong woman. You can love the wrong man. You can fall in love with someone if you're single, and it can be very destructive, and you enter into this destructive relationship. You can love a physical thing, a car or whatever, and it can wreak havoc in your life. Be careful what you love. So they go through this back and forth, and she finds that he is lying to her, but she wears him down. Satan's going to find a way to wear you down, brethren. He's going to keep putting that Delilah in front of you. God's interested in the core, in the heart. Where is your affection? Is it constructive? Is it good? Are you obsessed with something? What is your Delilah? So in verse 15, an interesting exchange here. In verse 15, she said to him, they're going back and forth and a lover's quarrel. That's what they're having, a lover's quarrel. I don't know how many days this transpired, but he loved her. In verse 15, then she said to him, how can you say I love you when your heart is not with me? You've mocked me these three times. Verse 15, chapter 16. And you've not told me where your great strength lies. Satan's very persistent. He'll find a way. He'll find your Delilah. I think the Delilahs are easy for him to identify, but he'll put it in front of you. He'll put it in front of you. And it came to pass in verse 16, when she badgered him, pestered him, she wore him down. But of course, most women, what else are they going to do? I mean, I suppose you can badger a man by making his favorite dessert constantly or something, but women are very good verbally. Men tend not to be as effective verbally. She used what she could use to wear him down, to wear him down. Again, men tend to use other weapons other than their tongue if they're trying to wear someone else down. They'll find other means. So I'm not picking on women. I am picking on women. And I'm picking on the men, okay? We all find our weapons, don't we? Little bit of fun here when we want to wear someone down, right? Even children will learn how to get to mom or dad. They kind of know how to get there. In verse 16, and it came to pass when she badgered him daily with her words and pressed him so that his soul was vexed. You don't love me. You don't care for me. I'm sure she looked him in the eye and touched him and held on to him and maybe kissed him or pouted or whatever she would do. And he loved her. You know, when you love someone, it's very easy to give in to them. It's hard to say no. And he told her all his heart. What a sad story. Said to her, no razor has ever come upon my head, for I've been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. Now it's very serious. He's violated the vow, and God has given him plenty of opportunities to do it right. But this fixation on these Philistine women, he did not address that weakness, and he allowed it to continue in his life. He violated other aspects of the Nazarite vow. We won't get into that, but the cutting of the hair was the dominant representation of that vow. It represented strength that God would give him. That long hair was important. Okay, now for the most part, the culture of that day, a man was not to have long hair. But in this unusual context, these isolated contexts of a Nazarite, it represented strength and reliance on God. And God is my strength. And it reminded you every day, that long hair, that you made a covenant with God, or I should say you were involved in a vow. God takes vows very seriously. And he says, I will become weak as any other man. In verse 18, and when Delilah saw that he had told her all of his heart, she sent and called the lords of the Philistines. How sad, verse 20. And she called out, she said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. So he awoke from his sleep and said, I will go out as before and at other times and shake myself free. And he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. We don't want God to depart from us. Now, God is very patient with us and loving, but there can be times when maybe something in our lives is just becoming too important and our prayers are not answered. Delilah's block the way from God answering your prayers. Now, that should frighten all of us. Sometimes when it seems like a prayer is not being answered, or you're stuck and you don't understand, could it be there's a Delilah in your life? It's not that God has totally departed from you, because he didn't totally depart from Samson. Well, he departed, but in essence, he was constantly watching. This is important to ask ourselves. Not always. Sometimes God delays. There are other reasons for unanswered prayers, okay? I want to make this clear. Don't get discouraged. There can be all types of reasons for unanswered prayer. But let us be sobered by the fact that sometimes there's a Delilah in our lives. We're fixated on something. We're obsessed with something. There's an idol, or we covet something, and it's taking up way too much of our affection and our time. It's very important. So the Philistines grab a hold of him, and they take him in verse 21. They put out his eyes. They take him to Gaza. They put him in bronze fetters, and he becomes a grinder in the prison. This is the period of the judges. This was a tough time. They made fun of him. I'm sure they spit on him, probably hit him, no doubt. How long did he have to endure? In verse 22, until his hair grew out. I don't know how long does it take. I think it grew up fairly long, 6, 9 months, maybe a year. I don't know. An incredible story. So let's review once again. God takes vows very seriously. We're in a covenant relationship with God. So let us examine ourselves. Where could I be stepping outside of my covenant relationship with God? Because there is a Delilah in my life, an obsession, a fixation, a mania, a craving, a compulsion. Something's taking up too much of my spiritual energy. This is very easy in our culture. The Delilahs are everywhere, from games to hobbies to physical things we buy to people to entertainment to television. You know, you hear of binge watching series. I've binge watched the first series of The Crown, which is about how Queen Elizabeth came to power, which was fascinating. It's well done. I saw season one and I binged watched that thing. Watched the first episode, then the second, third, and the fourth. I watched about 6 in one day. And great series, but I think a lot of people understand what it is to see something on Amazon or on the internet and you binge watch it. I'm not saying that's always some great evil, but we just get so obsessed with something, don't we? Be careful. God's patient. He's not going to hurt you and punish you immediately. God will warn you, point number 3. Your conscience, a sermonette, a sermon, a comment by a friend. Oh, don't you think you're spending too much time on that? Or why are you doing that? Or why are you so obsessed? God warns us. Or you read the scripture, he warns us of these Delilahs. Point number four, remember, God is a jealous God, but he's there to protect you. These Delilahs can do you great harm, great harm. Get them out of your life. Enjoy life. Enjoy the blessings God gives you, physical blessings, especially the people blessings. But don't let physical things get you all upset because you can't have it or you want it, but you can't have it. You got to be very careful with those things. Remember, a Delilah is when we become fixated. There's a fixation there. Samson was absolutely fixated. That's how you spot a Delilah. Just a fixation. It just goes beyond what it should be. The proportion is extreme. We give too much time and attention, or maybe too much money. Remember, we think there are things out there, people, neighborhoods, homes, maybe a certain career path. It's good to have goals, even good to have, quote, dreams, but be careful. What you think may please you often doesn't end well. Learn to trust God. Don't lean to your own understanding. You know, it's my favorite proverb, Proverbs 3, verses 4 through 5. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and don't lean to your own understanding. Be careful of your Delilahs. They're out there. Satan's very subtle. And then finally, remember, these Delilahs, eventually, they create a lot of stress. They create arguments in your home. They create tension, frustration, because you just can't be happy unless this happens or I have this, right? You can't be content, as was mentioned in the sermon. You just can't be content. You got to have this. And then that works for a little while, and then it's something else, and you're constantly frustrated. So as we prepare for the days of unleavened bread, spot the Delilah. Spot the Delilah that probably, I think all of us had, at least one Delilah over the past year. It was something that took up too much time, too much of our attention, a fixation. It had our affection, brethren. We're to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and might. Heart is the seat of affection. It's the seat of affection. The story actually ends well, because at the end, Samson does a great feat, and he carries out God's will. It was a good way for a brave man to die. Don't, in a sense, feel sorry for the ending. He's in the arena. They're all making fun of him, the enemies of the Lord, and he's placed between the two pillars. The strength is back, and he makes one final promise to his God. And in verse 28 of chapter 16, Samson calls out to the Lord, "O Lord God, remember me." And God remembers him. You know, a Delilah can take you down, but it doesn't mean you can't cry out to God again and actually be restored. Doesn't mean there isn't damage in your life, but you can be restored. O Lord, verse 28, remember me, I pray, strengthen me, I pray, just this once, O God, that I may with one blow take vengeance on the Philistines for my two eyes. And then he says to God in verse 30, let me die with the Philistines. It was a good way for a warrior judge to die, killing the enemy. Okay? Now, he could have had a much better life, but the Delilahs got in the way, caused a lot of frustration, harm, and damage. What happened to Samson's children? Did he have children? Did he ever have children? Not to my knowledge. Does it say anywhere? Am I missing something? His Delilahs kept him from having a good experience with a wife and children. How sad, isn't it? What he could have had. You know, the Nazarite vow didn't mean that you had to be celibate for the rest of your life. You were to avoid wine, dead bodies, and you were to grow the hair long. You were to obey certain rules. What happened to his children? I don't think he ever had any children, did he? I don't see that in the scripture. Delilahs can rob us actually of the best things in life. spot your Delilah. That'll help you to deal with it. May God give you the wisdom and the discernment to see that Delilah and get those Delilahs out of your life.